later. Mm-hmm.
But he said there certainly aren't any synthesizers that have oscillators that are that many, you know, and can be randomly tuned to that many different type of frequencies. Another thing is they found out that one frequency that remained stable throughout the entire testing was, well, they compared it to the Schumann resonance factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural frequency of Mother Earth.
7.85.
That's a very interesting question.
A 7.85 hertz wave that stayed consistent all the way through.
Right.
And so it just kind of adds a little sauce for the goose here, doesn't it?
Well, there's something else, too, that I don't know if you're familiar with or not, and I'd like to get into it with you without naming names here. It is very sensitive information, but...
Can you hold that?
Sure. Be
well,
glad to.
While we take a little break at 15 minutes away from 10 o'clock on a Saturday.
Okay, in 1982, we did the analysis you just heard. In 1980, we shipped the sound tape of Variation 2 to a friend, Rob Shellman, who came to us in 1979 through APRO. Rob was in the Navy. He was stationed at a naval base on the East Coast. At this base, they had a computer where they carried what they call sound signatures within the computer. It was primarily used for identifying various sounds in the ocean, such as submarines. They ran these sounds through the computer. Now, this computer supposedly had sounds of everything in it. It couldn't match the sounds of Variation 2. We found this extremely interesting. Now, going back to your point, here we've got a one-armed man, handicap, sixth-grade education, handicap. And he, if he's hoaxing it, he's fooling us at every turn. Not only is he fooling us, but he's also fooling science.
He's fooling our most sophisticated computers.
Exactly.
Well, he is really quite a fellow, isn't he?
He is a great guy, warm human being. He's never been into this for personal gain. Now, you're talking to a man here that spent many hours with Billy Meyer, many days. Our whole investigative team spent almost 300 days living at the farmhouse over a period of 5 years. And we never detected any trickery. We never uncovered anything smacking of hoax.
Well, I think it's interesting in watching the tape that you are now making available to the public. You, Yowie does interviews Billy Meyer. And you walk with Yowie and Billy Meyer to the various locations there in Switzerland where so many of these sightings were made.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't help but fall in love with him. He's so warm and he's so gentle and he is so real. And he seems a little bit perplexed why people are having difficulty in understanding what he's trying to tell them. You feel for him, you really do.
Well, that's what's amazing about the man. Now, I'm not a UFO expert. I was never into UFOs prior to this case. Sure, I believed in them. I believed that other life was possible. But Intercept definitely was not a UFO investigative company. When we got involved with the Meyer case, as I say, for 2 years, we tried to figure out how he was hoaxing it. But we finally gave up because it became easier and more practical to believe that it was actually happening than it was that if he was hoaxing it. It would have required too much money, too many accomplices, too many unexplainable situations, such as the metal. How
mm-hmm.
did he produce that? And other issues. So,
well, I think the story of the hoax would be greater than the story of the contact.
Oh, I agree. Definitely.
The folks are beginning to line up on the phone. I know they have questions. I have found over the years, Lee, they're far better interrogators than I am.
Okay.
And I just become a traffic cop. I know that there are questions about the Billy Meyer case. I'd like for you to kind of limit them with Lee, if you will, to the Billy Meyer case, what is being said there, the hard evidence. If you want to ask about the tape, certainly any of those things. We will play some more of this sound tape for you, so if you missed it the first time, won't get it the second time. Get your tape recorders rolling as far as that goes. And we'll get to your calls in a second. Let me give you the number. Los Angeles, 5 ground still to cover about the Billy Meyer case, a contact case with people from Pleiades, and we have just the guy to answer those questions on the line. He's Lee Elders, and I believe we have Roger is up. Roger, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. The question I'd like to ask is, What book or what material is available as to the lessons that Billy Meyer received from these people as to what we should do on this earth to get ourselves out of our mess?
Good question, Roger.
That's a good question. There were some contact notes made of the case, but those have not been translated in their entirety as yet.
He did them in German, as I recall.
They're in Swiss German, yes. And some of them have been translated to English, but are not enough at this time to warrant a publication. Also, I might add that we're under contract now. There's an option on this material, and we cannot release anything for another 2 years. The reason? There is currently a mainstream book being written on the case, and it should be released within, 12, 14 months.
But it does go into, Roger, to answer your question, what the Pleiadians see is our plight. They have enormous suggestions for us in where we should be going, and it really starts at home.
Oh, sure, yes. That's the...
into each individual.
That's right. You'll find a very metaphysical ring to a lot of the things that they have to say.
Right.
And one of the key issues that we utilized in the movie footage video was the fact that Meyer was talking about balancing the material with the spiritual. And
yes.
If you really think about that, I think that's one of the key ingredients necessary today, is to try to balance those two.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Well, it does. I just was hoping there'd be something out now. Do you know of other sources, which have the same message probably from other ways? Because let's face it, this stuff's coming from a lot of different ways.
Oh, no question. I think there's a lot of individuals channeling various information.
Right.
I've heard of one up in the Seattle area. The name escapes me. They're channeling information on how to help this planet.
Right.
Mankind. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Of what this whole thing's about.
Sure it is.
We're in trouble. This planet's in trouble. We know this. Now, what can we do about it? Not what can they do about it. What can we do?
No, we've got to do it ourselves.
Right. You're absolutely correct.
Well, it's good to hear this, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Roger. Appreciate you getting in on that. And we have time to get you started, Bob. Go right ahead.
Okay, Bill. Thank you. I have a question for Lee. It has to do with the beamship video.
Yes.
An hour into the, by the way, which was quite excellent, and I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, did you see it?
Pardon me?
I say, do you have a copy?
Yes, I do, Lee. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
An hour into the video, you showed a tree that was struck by a laser, and shortly thereafter, Billy Meyer mentioned a cosmonaut by the name of Menorah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this name?
Yes.
What can you tell me about this cosmonaut Menorah, if anything? I have a real personal, a real good reason for asking.
There is our music. You want to hang on
sure.
on the line there, Bob, while... Mm-hmm. We all go get a cup of coffee and have a break. We've got a couple of hours more to go to discuss the people from Pleiades who have been cavorting with one Billy Meyer. And with us to talk about that is Lee Elders from Arizona, the chief investigator on that particular case. A lot of new thinkings, and we're here to stretch yours just a little bit to give you some more information about the UFO. Maybe you'll think a little more seriously about it. You listen to Paul Harvey today. You found out that a recent poll said that over 100 million Americans believed in UFOs. Everybody seems to, but the federal government. And with us is Lee Elders to talk about that. Lee, you were talking to Bob whenever we took our little break there. Bob, you two continue.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Yes, Lee, as I mentioned, I was asking about the cosmonaut Menorah.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm asking is, and bear with me, I'm going to agree this is hard to swallow. I met with her out of body 3 years ago, and she introduced herself.
You went out of body, Bob?
Everybody in Los Angeles
goes.
Actually, there's quite a bit to it, but I'll keep it real short and real simple. And I met with her in Switzerland, out of body. She introduced herself as Menorah. At the time, though, I thought she said Mora, but after I saw your video, I realized it was Menorah. And we had a conversation, and And she even had an assistant and an android with her. But she didn't tell me anything about herself. I was wondering, spending 3 years with Billy Myers, or 5 years, can you share any insight with me?
We know very little about Manara, also Playa. That was another one mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I'm not positive, because there's very little mention about her, but I do believe that she was or is a Lyrian cosmonaut. She was not from the Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer claims to have had several different contacts with various civilizations, Pleiades being one,
mm-hmm.
the Dals, that's spelled D-A-L-S, mm-hmm. being another. They sort of prepped him for his plating experience 10 years prior,
mm.
and then the Lyrians. Now, I might add that this is these are some of the reasons that the so-called UFO experts back in 1978 felt the case was a hoax. There was just too much to it. There were too many, you know, outside stories, too many contacts with other civilizations. If he could have held it to the Pleiadians, it would have made life a lot easier for the investigators, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when Edwin Slade was over there, he came back with a fascinating story, Lee. I don't know whether I've even had a chance to pass it on to you. But he was talking to the hands that work around there. They showed him footprints. It seems to be sort of a way station now, and some of the people that come down and spend a while are very large, and some are very small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that the word is out that this is sort of a safe place that they can come.
Well, you know, we entertained this idea back in 78 and 79 when we were faced with these facts. Now, obviously, we were searching for some kind of rational explanation. I mean, nowhere in the history of ufology has an individual had so many contacts over a period of time with different societies. And one of the things that we were checking into at that period of time was the fact that there might be in this area, meaning in the Schmidrudi area of Switzerland, maybe some kind of time warp in that place, something like the Bermuda Triangle, that would create this type of situation. In other words, it might be a beacon area for various spacecraft coming into our civilization. And therefore, maybe Meyer's in that cosmic phone book. Who knows?
Hmm. Yeah, Bill, if I can just say one thing, I'm sure there's a few viewers out there that...
Well, if they are, this is really the open mind.
like I say, I'm sure there are some out there that obviously just can't accept with what I just said. I will say this. The android that was with her, I watched this android burn a circle in my nail, and when I came back to my body... the circle was in my nail.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. He burned a what?
A circle.
A circle.
A perfect circle in my fingernail.
In your fingernail.
And I actually felt the pain out of body.
That's unusual.
Yeah, highly unusual. And when I, even more unusual, when I returned to my body, the circle was there.
That's very unusual.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a copy of the old Wendell Stevens book?
Of UFO Pleiades?
It was like his diary. He only published a small number of them.
The green books.
The green ones. No,
this
I
was,
don't.
UFO contact from Pleiades, investigative summary.
Well, I don't have the summary. I have the hardcover.
Okay, you don't have the preliminary investigation report.
No, I'd love to have it.
Well, it's impossible to find anymore. It's like volume one. It's history, and they're now collector's items, but... it's very, let me share one thing with you that you might find intriguing.
Please.
We have seen a photograph. We've never released it. We've never published it. On board, supposedly taken by Meyer, on board the mothership, there are two cosmonauts, both female. One is Ascot,
mm-hmm.
and the other, I'm not sure if it's Playa or Manara at this point, but standing off to the right is an android.
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe this android to me, since you have not seen this photograph?
Okay, well, I'll tell you quite honestly, usually whenever you're out of body, you can see just as clear as in body. However, when I met with them, they came to me as a silhouette. Minora, this android, and her assistants came to me. Although I could see the farm where the ship landed, I could see the fence, I could see everything else perfectly clear. I can even see the bench where we sat on. I can even see the clipboard she had in her hand when she was speaking to me.
Well, let me ask you another question,
mm-hmm.
real quick.
Mm-hmm.
What do you estimate the size, height? the Android list.
Okay, approximately 6.5 feet, 7 feet, no more than 7, I would say.
Taller than she was.
Yes.
Cylindrical?
No.
Cylindrical is the word, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Arms and legs or R2-D2?
No. Arms and legs. As a matter of fact, when I walked up to this android, my arm went up automatically. I had no control over that. His arm raised. He grabbed the tip of my nail. That's when I felt the pain. That's when I said to myself, you can't do this to me. It was like talking to a machine. He didn't even listen to me whatsoever. I sat down with Minoris. We had a conversation which would blow your mind. And she got up, went back to her ship, and I tried to take control of the situation, and I was back in my body. Mm-hmm. It's just a mind blower. And it happened, as a matter of fact, this February will be 3-year anniversary, February 9th.
How does that stack up with the android in the picture?
I'd prefer to discuss that in private with this gentleman. Why don't you drop me a letter, and we'll talk about it. And
okay.
This way we can move on with some of the
problems. I understand.
Okay, you want to give him the address, Lee?
Oh, yeah, that's Post Office Drawer or Box JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to Genesis 3, Roman numeral 3.
Mm-hmm.
P.O. Drawer JJ, Munds Park, that's M-U-N-D-S,
mm-hmm.
Park, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
86017.
Wonderful. Just out of curiosity, real quickly, do you know Billy Meyer's birthday?
Yes.
Is it in February?
Yes.
February 9th?
No. February 3rd.
The 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting because, real quick, all this didn't happen in one night. It happened over 4 consecutive nights, and it started on the 4th. So I don't know if there's anything to that, but I thought I'd ask.
Well, I'm glad you did. It's very intriguing. I'd like to talk to you more about it.
Very well.
Okay.
Thank you, Lee.
Bob. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And in case you missed that address, I'm going to give it to you here officially in just a second. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Lee Elders. World. They claim to be from Pleiades. The hard evidence involved. And here's how you can get your own movie footage of the whole thing. So I want you to listen carefully. You know, the very first Open Mind program back in 1979 dealt with the amazing ongoing experience of Billy Meyer, a man who, since 1975, had been having a number of visits from female astronauts from a planet in Pleiades. Well, his story was backed up with hundreds of photographs and movie footage of their craft. Now, you have an opportunity to see that movie footage taken by Billy Meyer himself. The investigators of this amazing case are making a 90-minute home videotape available to you for the first time with a pictorial insight into the man Billy Meyer, an actual footage of the craft. This footage was first seen by 30 million people on Nippon Television, and now you can see it at home. Get your copy by sending a check or money order for $59.95, postage and handling included, to Genesis 3 Publishing, Post Office Drawer JJ, Munns Park, Arizona, 86017. Now stipulate Beta or VHS and allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. That's $59.95 to Genesis 3, P.O. Drawer JJ, Munns Park, Arizona, 86017. Come aboard, Chuck.
Good evening, darling. Good evening, Lee.
Hi, Chuck.
I'm barely getting you, but I guess I can't hear you. Good evening, Bill.
Okay.
You know, I've had experience with some what they call evoked potentials with the brain. Okay, and that has to do with hitting the brain with, say, a flash of light or a sound and measuring the response to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I was listening to those sounds. You know, the sounds of the motors. And, Bill, you brought up the 7.85 or 7.83 hertz
mm-hmm.
as being always present in those sounds. And then I've had a past experience with, say, with past life regression where I was in a cockpit and seeing that going on. But, see, it didn't hit me until later on that the UFOs are totally mentally controlled. And that those sounds you were hearing were really were upper harmonics or higher harmonics or just brain waves. And that when they correlate, that means there is agreement, that that's what the pilot wants to happen at that moment. you see? And if you do that with, if you take the same analogy with human beings, is that at times when they recognize something that is being real at that moment, you can see it peek up on a computer as being rep, that's it. And there's no way you can get around it. You see what I'm saying? The analogy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. There's been some talk among those who have studied the strange characteristics and the propulsion systems of these and other craft that there could very well be a form of mental control. I think we've even talked about that, Lee.
Oh, yes.
Well, Lee, how do you feel about the interdimensionality of the mind itself? If I say that I want to be on a Pleiades in the next 10 seconds, and if I'm in a machine, if I'm in a ship that operates in that realm of intention, what's to keep me from going there?
Hello?
What's to keep me from going there?
Well, it takes them 5 minutes. I don't know. with the new beam ships.
Well, if they can think in concert, in unison, which they can, if they are adept in telepathy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been Mr. Delatosa's theory, who's worked very diligently on this project in science for many years, that there's a combination there of thought. In other words, thought is required for hyperspace. Okay? Thought in unison.
And coherent thought is in hyperspace. I'm saying that that is the domain.
But what I'm saying is before they jump, the spacecraft jumps to hyperspace.
Uh-huh.
It requires total unison of thought between all the crew.
I see.
Okay? And the onboard ship computers.
Right.
Okay. Now, do you follow me?
Sure.
If you want to go beyond that, you'll have to talk to Tom. Okay.
Well, no, I won't need to go.
Sense.
Huh?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
You could very well be on it. And further than that, Chuck, we're looking at some of the other sciences that we're dealing with now, particularly whenever we move into this rarefied air known as scalar interferometry.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Some of the things that happens there, a great deal depends upon the operator. And we're not
talking about... Well, that's what quantum physics says, that the observer is part of the process.
That's right. And as these sciences now get more pristine and more exacting, we see the great interrelation between physics and the physics of the human mind.
And that the message of the Pleiadians is that we are the process, we are the environment, and it's not out there, and that we've got to straighten it out.
Well, they sure have a lot to say about straightening it out, that's
right. Okay, Bill, I just wanted to bring that up to see, make it more mystical.
Well, it's not mystical. I like to see it get down to science, and you're really touching on some touchstones of the advanced scientific community right now.
Right.
All right, Chuck, thank you for that input. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, Edson, you're on.
Hi, good evening.
How are you?
How are you? How are you, gentlemen? By the way, Bill, I too have had out of body experiences. But I don't control them. They only happen during very severe emotional times. But if you
Hope you have no more.
Well, I hope not. But I'll just briefly mention in the Omni magazine for December, there's a gentleman in Poland who claims that out of body experiences and when you come back after death?
Near-death experience.
Near-death experience are related, so...
Yes, they are. They're very closely related.
Mm-hmm, floating and so forth. What I want to ask is, first, has any ultra or infrasonic frequencies been discovered in these tapes of Billy Myers?
What type of frequencies did you ask?
Ultrasonic or infrasonic?
At this point in time, no. Although I think it would be best to probably put you in touch with one of the gentlemen that did the work on this. But I don't think there has. But an update on it, I'd be glad to answer that if you want to send me a letter.
Okay. And you were mentioning something about a beacon there in this spot in Switzerland. I suppose Switzerland is surrounded by mountains and Alps and so forth. If I remember correctly, Baron von Reichenbach, who's the discoverer of the Oortic Force and using crystals to detect this force, obtained these crystals from the Alps, and I think some of them were 6, 8, 10 feet long, so maybe that has something to do with it.
could be.
Yeah.
We've also heard, for example, the continental shelf, which I think appears right on the border of New Mexico and Arizona, has been very heavy in UFO activity. I don't know if the shelf is a curiosity point for them, or if it has something to do with electromagnetic waves or what. It's an interesting analogy, though.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps there's something like this in the Swiss area. We don't
Speaking of the UFO air activity down there, I got clippings from Tucson newspapers of an event there of, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, where flights of 60 UFOs were observed for an hour and a half by air controllers, radar, thousands of people in the Tucson area. There they were. Now, they will not talk about it at the flight tower there at the airport. I tried to talk to someone about it. They have been hushed up, but they were seen. They were reported, well reported, everywhere except in Los Angeles. But the folks of Tucson had quite a show. They weren't balloons. They were readily watched on military and civilian radar.
Bill, I was with Wendell about 3 weeks ago. We spent several hours together, and he told me that the following evening after this major flap over Tucson, and I've heard there were, four waves of 15 apiece or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Staggered in between one another. But he told me the following evening, the same formation, the same number was sighted over the Burbank area and Santa Monica area.
Well,
have you heard anything about that?
I hadn't heard anything about the local flap at all. Obviously, I didn't see it, or I'd have been on the radio with that, and I carry my video camera with me everywhere I go, and would have gotten some footage. But it's interesting to me how legitimate news media, whenever they have a really incredible, well, I hate to use the word incredible because that means not to be believed, but astounding story like this. I think footage was shown on television in Tucson.
And also Phoenix.
And Phoenix. But the great editors of Los Angeles were not interested in that story. It's much better to have a wreck on the freeway on the tube.
Well, you know, Cora Lorenzen called it, she was interviewed by the local television station, one of them. She called it one of the greatest flaps of all time. And it probably is. Because she said it was a whole revolutionary new, pioneering phase for sightings.
Well, it's similar to the sightings of last summer up in northern New York, although those were nighttime sightings, but thousands of people saw that. And again, wrecks on the freeway were far more important to our newspapers and television stations. Okay, Edson, appreciate those questions a great deal.
Thank you very much.
I'm Bill Jenkins talking with Lee Elders tonight. We're talking about the Billy Meyer case, and it is on the line. Wilford, welcome aboard.
Hello there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really into this UFO stuff, but...
Okay.
One day I got into your show, one night I remember, and I heard you talking about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested about this case. I just want to know if you're going to talk about more of other UFO cases.
Well, tonight, because we have the chief investigator on this particular case on, we'll limit it to that because, as Lee pointed out earlier, he's not into UFOs either, other than this case. Do you have something that you want to know? Maybe I can help you.
Yes. Could you tell me when would you be talking more about UFOs?
UFOs in general?
Yes.
The other cases that are around? It'll probably be in March or April, somewhere along there.
Okay.
All right.
How will I get to know? You'll tell it in your show, right?
Excuse me?
You'll say it in your show.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know that.
All right.
If you can, you'll say something about in general.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Is there anything in general you'd like to know, though, right now?
Well, I'm not really into that stuff now. I'm kind of a novice right now.
Okay. Well, this
I don't really know, so I won't waste your time.
This is one of the most fascinating of all of the cases, Wilford, if you're interested, so you're invited to stay right along with us, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You betcha. And, Bob, you're on.
Oh, hi, Lee. Yes.
Hi, I don't know if you can hear me too well. I can't hear you too well.
Oh, you're both coming in fine.
Okay. I've had a considerable difficulty locating Volume 1. I saw it, I think, around December of 81 for the first time in a bookstore. Never saw it after that, but it piqued my curiosity. I looked for it. I had people look in books and print and microfilm, B. Dalton, that sort of thing. Nobody could find it. I finally, 2 years later, found one defective copy in a bookstore in Thousand Oaks. And I was wondering, is there any type of government, at least interference, or have you been approached by anyone in the government as far as publishing such a remarkable story and photographs?
Okay, I think that's a two- or three-part answer there. First of all, Volume 1 is out of print, has been since 81. Let me go back to Volume 1. The reason we published it, Genesis 3 was set up, organized, and everything with the investigators of this case. When we got involved, we found that the expenses of investigating this case in Switzerland became astronomical. We were into six figures.
Wow.
Now, that's the most. We've spent more money investigating this case than any, I think, 10 other UFO cases in the history of UFOlogy. So we had to come up with a solution to finance this investigation. And the solution came about through Volume 1. And the investigators set up Genesis 3. We published Volume 1 as an overview of the case. And we felt, well, we'll be lucky if we sell a couple of thousand. Maybe we can offset some of these tremendous expenses. Instead, it became an occult classic.